saw Mayor Hart's always be offering that silent hallelujah and worship towards you. And we do have gratitude. We are thankful for what you've done, what you are doing in our lives. Amen. Please be seated. And Robert, readings.
Thanks, Chris. Morning, good morning, everybody. Our first reading is from the Apostle Paul's letter to Christians in Philippi, chapter 3, verse 14. One of the happiest letters, a letter that shares something of his deepest longings. He bears his soul. If someone else thinks that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu, atawairoa ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mau tonu tana, kupu kia tato. The Holy Gospel according to John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoimiti, te kiroria ki te atua. We're not far away from Easter. This reading takes place before Easter and the day before Jesus rides into Jerusalem. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." This is the Gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tēnei a te karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe me te tia ia, te kupu mana.
Thanks. Awesome. Thank you, Bruce. Well, kia ora, everybody. How are you? Doing all right? We have this morning really cool readings here, and Bruce was particularly sort of excited about the one from Paul, and I was excited about the one from the Gospel, but we're going to put them together a bit. And actually, Robert and I were talking about the second reading a bit, so I will make reference to... first reading, yeah. Just to say, first of all, it is really nice, isn't it, being able to see the stained glass window, obviously, but also having got rid of the projector, we can still see the words with screens. And the projector belonged to somebody else, so it had to go back. I could say something about stained glass window, but I'm not going to, but I did want to just point out this amazing... piece of craft work here, the crown of thorns, as we approach Good Friday and the events that are coming. There's something about that crown of thorns that I think is really, really beautiful. We are this week and then next week are the last 2 weeks before the events of Good Friday. And as Robert said, our gospel reading takes place the day before Palm Sunday, the day before Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and that is next week. So next week we'll be celebrating that, and then we're straight into the events of leading up to the cross and the resurrection. And in that context, we've got this reading, this woman... anoints Jesus for his burial. So someone who's conscious of his death, approaching death, and someone who loves Jesus and wants to show him some kind of honor and worth and love and give worth-ship, which is where we get our English word worship from. She wants to give worth-ship to Jesus, to say, you are worth this. And there's something about this story and about the Paul reading that reminds me of Jesus' parable of the pearl of great price. You know, where someone discovers this pearl, this treasure, this pearl of great price. And there's a couple of parables like it. One it's in a field, one it's in a shop, and someone's fished for it. But there's this treasure or pearl of great price, and someone then sells all that they've got in order to gain the pearl, or, sells everything in order to gain the field so they can dig the treasure up. It's that idea of giving everything. And there's something in this story as well which says the economics of the kingdom are not the world's economics. They're upside down. They don't bear any relationship to the world's economics. So, for example, another woman can give the tiniest amount, the widow's mite, as it's known. She gives just a copper coin or a couple of copper coins. And Jesus said, and there's all these guys going past with massive amounts of money, dumping it in the temple treasury. Lots and lots of wonga, money. That's what we call it in Britain. I'm having to refresh my British... pants and chips and, you know, I'm just going to be so confused. But anyway, lots of money. And they're dumping it in this one widow, two little copper coins. And Jesus says, that's worth more than everything else. Really? Are you sure, Jesus? Because that's a lot of money. And that's nothing, money-wise. Yes, I'm sure, Jesus says. That is kingdom stuff. That's where I can work off the back of that. I can't do much with that other stuff. But I can do immense amounts for the kingdom through that little gift, because it was everything she had. I'm going to bring so much blessing through that. It's opened a floodgate for God's work, not human work. Which rings a bell for what Paul's saying, isn't it? You know, my righteousness, my kind of my flesh, you know, what I can, I did this, I've got that. You know, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, I'm a Pharisee, I've persecuted the church, I've got, you know, kept the law, I'm, you know, all of these are sort of human things that I have achieved. All of this money that I have dumped in, you know, which doesn't actually cost me anything, very little, but, you know, because I'm so wealthy, but, you know, boom. And Paul says, this is nothing. I count it as nothing. The world thinks it's amazing. What is it in our lives that the world thinks is amazing? What is it that we can signal and show people, you know, hey, I did this. Look, I stand up for this. I liked this thing on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, you know. Yeah, that was costly, liking that. You know, oh, yay, my political thing, or oh, yay, my, I don't know, whatever it is. You know, oh, I stood up for these guys or that thing, or, you know, look at me. But the person who isn't seen is the one that Jesus goes, look, she didn't do it for the glory or the honor. And yeah, it's good, isn't it? I like it. I like the economics of the kingdom. But it's a very big challenge as well, because then it means that somewhere along the way, I've got to go, what do I have to give up? What was that?
What actually matters.
Yeah. And again, that is what Lent is about, and what we're trying to get back to is, where am I placing my value, my honour, my worth-ship? And where should it be? What really counts? Where is the life, really? And if it's this treasure in the field, and this woman who gives a couple of coins, or this woman who, you know, this other woman who's got this alabaster jar of expensive perfume of pure nard, which always reminds me of Blackadder, I can't help. Purest green, my lord, you know. But anyway, pure nard. And she breaks it. And everyone's going, what a waste. You know, that money could have been given to the poor, given to the temple treasury, given to, you know. And Jesus is like, this is a heart thing. You've got to get it. This is a heart thing. She's given worth-ship from her heart. She's saying, Jesus, you are worth this to me. The woman who can only give two coins because that's all she's got. Or is it one coin? Whatever. Because that's all she's got. That is everything for her. She's given everything. And this woman who's breaking the jar and giving everything. And Paul saying, I've got all this, but whatever I consider gain, and he uses the word twice, whatever I consider gain, I count as lost, as rubbish, as dung, as the Greek actually is, you know. I count it as absolute rubbish compared to knowing Christ. the treasure in the field. This is the thing that's worth it. Worship. This is where my worship goes. This is where my honor goes. This is what I want. This is what I'm running after. This is what I'm trying to go for. This is what I'm trying to get hold of, is Jesus and knowing him and his life. And he uses the word gain again. I consider this all loss in order that I may gain Christ. So whatever I considered gain before, I consider loss now. Because I want to gain Christ. It's lovely, isn't it? It's good. So I guess that's it, really. But for this Lent, again, I just want us to, and I want myself, to start to think, well, what is it that I value? What do I like the look of me giving, or, you know, virtue signaling, or whatever it is? You know, what kinds of things am I thinking are quite showy and good, or, you know, kind of give me the credentials, tick the box for others so that they know that I'm on the right side, or I'm doing, you know, I'm a good person, or I'm doing the right things. What kinds of, you know, and how valuable is that compared to giving all in order that I might gain Jesus, who's really the life, who has everything, who is grace and life and forgiveness and goodness and beauty. And then when I give anything, like if I do give some money and I'm giving it out of that heart, or I'm giving some time and I give it out of that heart of love, of worship, I'm saying, Jesus, you're worth it. You know, God can do so much off the back of that kind of offering. It's like when David pours out. Do you remember those guys risk their lives in, you know, he's sort of faced with this, you know, dug in, as it were, and then faced with all the enemy out there. And he says, oh, I wish I could drink, you know, some water from that old place, you know, that we used to. And his mighty men go, right, let's do this. Let's get him some water from that pool. And they go off and they risk their lives. And they come back and they give him this water and he pours it on the ground. It's like, what the? They just risk, you know. And he said, and he's like, this is too precious. I have to give this to the Lord. You know? It's a lovely, and I love those sorts of stories. I wonder if we can grow, and I hope that we can, this Lent and into Easter in our knowing the Lord. So I'll just finish with the words that Paul uses, press on. He says, just at the end of that reading, not that I've already obtained this or have already become perfect, but I press on, in verse 12. I press on in order that I may lay hold of that. And this is a lovely turn of phrase. In order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. It's really cool, isn't it? He's trying to lay hold of something that he's already, Jesus has, you know, laid hold of him, and he's trying to, I really like that. It's as we press on to try and get hold of Jesus, we can know that he's got hold of us already. And there's a real love and security and safety in that. And so we still do press on, but our pressing on is just feeble and little and everything, and it's all within his already having got hold of us. It's really lovely. So he says, I don't regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And that's also a sort of maybe, well, it's the same words in the Greek version of the Old Testament as Hosea 6, which says, you know, come. And this is a real Lenten verse. It's used a lot in Lent. Come, let us return to the Lord. For he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. And on the third day, raise us up, that we may live with him. And then it says, so let us know, let us press on. There's those words again. Let us press on to know the Lord. So let that be our prayer this Lent. Let's just take a moment to pray. Lord Jesus, we love you for all that you've done for us. Again, in Luke's version of that story, the woman who breaks the jar does it because she knows she's been forgiven, and she loves much because she knows she's been forgiven much. Lord, we pray that that you would turn our hearts, our eyes, our minds, our spirits, our bodies even to you again this Lent, and as we journey towards especially remembering all that you've done for us in pouring out your life for us. May we too pour out our lives for you and give you our hearts. And even pressing on, just keep growing in giving you everything, all of ourselves. Jesus, in your mercy and in your name. And thank you that we do that knowing that you've taken hold of us.